Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Send us your Holy Spirit, O God, that these words might speak to us as your word, and our lives bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this afternoon comes to us from the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I bring you greetings from all the way across the country from the Presbytery of Seattle. And I thank you so much for ensuring that the weather would be to my pleasing so I could be here with you today. Today, which is a joyful and holy occasion, the installation of a new pastor into the life and leadership of this congregation. This is a covenant moment. Not just between Stephanie and this congregation, but it's a covenant also between all of us and the living God, who calls and equips and sends each one of us. Now, our scripture today tells us the story of Tabitha, a disciple of Jesus, whose life was so full of service that when she died, the entire community cried out. Their cries were of grief. But I think there was also an underlying cry of hope there. And what happens subsequently is nothing short of resurrection. There's something deliciously disruptive about this story. First of all, Tabitha intentionally redefined gender roles in a society that was particularly strict about them. Secondly, she uses her power of independence and apparent financial means to serve rather than to rule over others. And thirdly, as we will see, her death sparks a movement that is one of both faith and action. Tabitha disrupts by redefining power, one that is centered on service and love of others. I'm sure that resonates with people in power today. But this story, in turn, also disrupts us because we cannot help but be transformed by this story. Tabitha is just another one of a long line of disruptive people in the story of God, where they keep breaking up the status quo. She exemplifies this slew of people in the early church who simply would not stay in the place that society had put them. As Will Willimon wrote, common fishermen are preaching to temple authorities, paralyzed old men are getting up and walking about, changing lives, and here is this woman named Tabitha who heads up a welfare program for the poor in Joppa. Disruptive. But let me add to Dr. Willimon's description of Tabitha, because who she was serving, I think, is also quite telling. It's not just women that she is serving. She is serving perhaps the most vulnerable of all women in that society, widows. Women who had endured the loss of a spouse, but also their livelihood, their sense of place and status, even their voice. These are the ones that Tabitha is drawn to. Now, as someone who also straddles two cultures, we also learned that she was someone who had one foot in each culture, and she spoke two languages as well. She was Tabitha, but as we learned, she was also Dorcas. She had an Aramaic version of her name as well as a Greek one. As biblical scholar Margaret Amer writes, this marks her as a Greek-speaking Jew. Tabitha stands out as neither wife nor widow nor mother. She is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and she is named without regard to patriarchy or patrimony. That's a lot for the Bible. She was that essential bridge between that tight-knit group of Jewish disciples and the growing believer in this Gentile world. We're told that she devoted herself to good works and acts of charity. Her faith had an accompanying action, embodied in the way she cared for those that were on the fringes of society. That she focused on the widows of her community was a powerful statement. It meant that she saw them, truly saw them, with the same eyes that Jesus would have seen them with. And these widows, united in their marginalization and cared for by Tabitha, are the ones who lament her loss, because her death throws that community into deep, profound grief. In just a few verses, we are made aware of this grief. There's shock and numbness and lament. These women who Tabitha ministered, who she loved and cared for whom she made clothing, this death thing was nothing new to them. They'd already been through the heartbreak of losing a loved one. But now they are thrown again into invisibility. Their lament is not just at losing Tabitha. It is also the realization that once again, they are thrust into the outskirts of society, vulnerable and at risk. The widows in Joppa could have simply remained in mourning, wailing their lament, surrendering to the stark reality of life without Tabitha, but somehow the disciples who witnessed this send for Peter. Now, they sent for Peter not because Peter's somehow magical, but because these people believe that God still has something to say, even in the face of death. And something I have learned living and working in the church, we should never underestimate the power of a praying, grieving, and hopeful community. A faith community can make room for transformation, and yes, even resurrection. The widows receive Peter in their weeping and grief, and they immediately take him upstairs, and they can't help but show him all that Tabitha had done for them. Physical examples of the love that she had given them. Each tunic, a testimony. Every stitch, a sermon. And Tabitha is remembered in the Bible not because of her power, but because of her service of that love for a forgotten group of God's beloved children. And yet her work is not done, and she matters deeply to God, to the widows, and once again, God will not allow death to have the final word. The power of this miracle is not just that Tabitha rises from the dead, but that hope is provided to others, a hope that their story is not yet completed, that God deeply cares, that disruptions, in fact, are welcome in the search for God's will. So Peter sends everyone out of the room. This is not a time for an audience of a showy miracle. And instead, privately, he takes her hand. He prays. And then he commands her to get up, which can also be translated to wake up. He never bothers to ask Tabitha if this is what she wanted. He just hears what needs to be done. He sees the needs of the community and tells her to get up, to awaken. Tabitha needs to be awakened. And when I read that, I immediately think Tabitha becomes woke. Now, I know a lot of people in our culture consider that almost a four-letter word, as if it denotes a particular political affiliation or partisan rhetoric, assuming that somehow being awake means that you're politically correct or even elitist. But let's not forget, there's another big chunk in our society who sees the word woke and take pride, a little bit too much pride, in their wokeness, patting themselves on the back, when being woke for them is simply a performative signal without any real work to accompany it. In fact, to be awakened is to become aware, and to be aware automatically needs to be followed by to be moved into action. Throughout Scripture, we see humans being commanded to wake hundreds of times throughout the New Testament alone. This state of being awake is a call to spiritual vigilance and alertness and renewed relationship with God. Jesus repeatedly asked his disciples to remain vigilant, to stand watch, to be aware. Sometimes in the context of being prepared for his second coming, such as the Gospel of Mark. Other times in Luke, he would be speaking to his followers their need to stay attentive to the end times. And then, of course, in Matthew, when he implores his disciples repeatedly to stay awake with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. To be awake is to allow yourself to be attentive to what God might be doing this very moment and how God might be moving in and through others, including yourself. To be awake is to be prepared to respond, to act, to speak, to be a part of what God is pulling together for the sake of wholeness, completeness, shalom, and transformation. Because, friends, once you are aware, faith demands that you engage, that you act, and yes, even become disruptive. Peter's miracle of raising Tabitha from the dead and then returning her to the grieving community was indeed a call to action. You cannot wake up to the stark reality of human need and brokenness, whether it's hunger or violence or racism or homelessness, and remain untouched, unmoved. A living, thriving faith makes it so that you cannot resist acting, to be a part of the healing or restoration that God is undertaking. Tabitha had become aware of the need of that community of women and was willing to buck tradition and norms in order to serve them the way that Christ would have served them, the way that Christ commanded her and commands us today. And that work needed to be continued. And for this, God enables Peter to restore her back to life. Acts goes on to tell us that as a result of this entire episode, many came to believe. Isn't that what we're all about anyway? To bring others to faith? Tabitha, in her quiet disruption, has enabled the gospel to be spread just a little bit more so that others might come to believe and have faith and have abundant life. The fact is that because of Peter's charge to Tabitha to awaken and then her response to act, many were provided with one of life's greatest commodities, one that I don't know about you, but lately I feel is in short supply, and that is hope. Hope that things can change. Hope that there can be life. Hope that there can be peace. Hope that there can be grace. Hope that there can be justice. Like Tabitha, the church can lift up the broken places in our world, whether it's the lost, the questioning, the displaced, the lonely, and give them hope. And like Tabitha, I know that there are times when churches, let's face it, may look like they're dead. In fact, some of them are dead. They just don't know it. But there's still hope that that can be changed. Because once hope is experienced, just the glimmer of it in a community of faith, it cannot, it will not be allowed to be squelched. Jesus himself said that if people did not proclaim the promises of hope, of what could be through his life and resurrection, then stones themselves would cry out. Look, like Tabitha, I really believe that the church is called over and over again to get up, wake up, rise, love, serve, have hope. The world cries out today over and over. The cries of widows in the form of undocumented families living in the fear of forced deportation and separation. Of trans siblings whose rights to health care and safety continue to be eroded. Of black and brown bodies vulnerable to sanctioned violence and indifference. Of the elderly and veterans in our communities who are at risk of losing resources and support for their very livelihood and well-being. And of course, the communities and frankly entire cities that are attempting to survive incessant bombings. All because we have no hope. If Peter's act of raising Tabitha from her deathbed so that she could continue to care for her community was the gift of hope to a grieving, broken community, then shouldn't we, the church, today, be intent on cultivating that hope, particularly in the forgotten and often overlooked places? But I'll be honest with you. To do so, the church will need to be unafraid to engage and commit to hard work. Hard conversations, to enter into the messiness that is relationships, to remain awake and aware of what is God doing, of speaking the truth, even when it's painful. Now, I've known Stephanie for almost a decade, and I know she will not back away from hard things. I know she will challenge you to stay awake. But further than that, she will challenge you even further to walk together into action. The hope that we see that is rising up in Joppa is one that can happen here in Allentown as well. This gift that Peter gives that community of widows, this is the same gift that we in North America, in this entire world, need in the 21st century, and that we have the power to give to our communities. And indeed, this is our work. Tabitha's story is our story. It's a story of the church. It's a story of Stephanie as she leads this congregation. Because God has called Stephanie to care for you, to come to this place at this time, at this very moment, so that she can pray for you, that she can serve you, that she can love you and remind you when you refuse to rise up, to wake you when you seem to fall asleep, and to remind you that God cares deeply about you, about the world, that you matter, that your story is not yet complete, and that you are encouraged to be disruptive. I pray that you will join Stephanie, your pastor, in seeking the widows around you, no matter what form they may take, that you in turn will also be That disciple, those disciples that will pray, that will hold hands and remind one another, rise up and awaken. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.